From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will commence a series of messages focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. I am that I am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. During his earthly ministry, Christ applied this matchless name to himself, clearly stating his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning and Evening from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our text for this morning is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Spiritual knowledge of Christ will be a personal knowledge. I cannot know Jesus through another person's acquaintance with him. No, I must know him myself. I must know him on my own account. It will be an intelligent knowledge. I must know him, not as the visionary dreams of him, but as the Word reveals him. I must know his natures, divine and human. I must know his offices, his attributes, his works, his shame, his glory. I must meditate upon him until I comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. It will be an affectionate knowledge of him. Indeed, if I know him at all, I must love him. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head learning. Our knowledge of him will be a satisfying knowledge. When I know my Savior, my mind will be full to the brim. I shall feel that I have that which my spirit panted after. This is that bread whereof, if a man eat, he shall never hunger. At the same time, it will be an exciting knowledge. The more I know of my beloved, the more I shall want to know. The higher I climb, the loftier will be the summits which invite my eager footsteps. I shall want the more as I get the more. Like the miser's treasure, my gold will make me covet more. To conclude, this knowledge of Christ Jesus will be a most happy one. In fact, so elevating that sometimes it will completely bear me up above all trials and doubts and sorrows, and it will, while I enjoy it, make me something more than man that is born of woman, who is few days and full of trouble. For it will fling about me the immortality of the ever-living Savior, and gird me with the golden girdle of his eternal joy. Come, my soul, sit at Jesus' feet, and learn of him all the day.
Oh, Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Cairns begins a series of studies dealing with the occurrences in John's Gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ asserted his deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. This is the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It is the name of the eternal, self-existent, never-changing God. In the Gospel of John, Christ used this name of himself 7 times. In the 8th chapter, the Jews asked Christ, "Who art thou?" In verse 58, Christ gave his final answer to that question when he stated, "Before Abraham was, I am." The Jews knew exactly what he meant, and in their unbelief and rejection of him, they took up stones to stone him. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will set forth the implications of Christ's declaration, I am. Here we'll find his claim to deity, to eternality, to immutability, and to all sufficiency. It is our prayer that as you listen to this series of messages, you will come into a new understanding of who Jesus Christ is, and that if you know him, you will love him with all your heart and soul. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, we pray that you will trust him to save you. And now to bring God's word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This morning we'll be considering the words of the 58th verse of this chapter. I say considering them, we will touch upon them, scratch the surface, because the words, though brief and easily memorized, surpass the capability of any man either to understand or adequately explain or express. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. The Jews asked a very profound question of Christ. In verse 25, they asked, who art thou? Later, whom do you make yourself to be? Who art thou? Sadly, they were both ignorant of Christ and unprepared for the answer to their question. They were not willing for the light of truth as the Lord Jesus gave it to them. Now that's a double tragedy. These people had seen much of Christ. They had heard much of Christ. They had witnessed his power. They had, I would reckon, in many cases, personally benefited from his beneficence. They thought they knew him, but they did not know him. They were still in the dark concerning him. That's a tragedy. For people to have access to the truth about Christ, to have witnesses all around them as to who he is, why he came, what his work and mission were all about, and yet to remain in the dark is a tragedy. It's a tragedy that's enacted across the world today just as truly as it was then. People sitting in Christian churches, people sitting in this church, subject to a gospel ministry, hearing the reading of the Word of God, the exposition of that gracious Word, hearing the invitations to Christ, having explained to them with all the passion and all the honesty, integrity, and simplicity of which the preachers in this place are capable, and yet remaining in the dark concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him not. Jesus bore this witness, you do not know me, nor do you know my Father. Men and women, I want you to let that awful indictment sink in this morning. Be not satisfied with sitting in a place where you hear about Christ and you understand, at least you think you understand, some facts concerning Christ, but yet the Savior has to bear witness, you do not know me, nor do you know my Father. That, I say, is a tragedy. What doubles the tragedy, we find this in the case of the Jews, is that they were so deeply attached to their own sin, to their own prejudice, that they were incapable and unwilling to receive the truth concerning him. Not only did they not know him, they did not want to know him. However, the Lord Jesus knew himself. Now that sounds a little patronizing, a little presumptuous to say that. But if you've ever read much of fairly modern theology, starting in the 19th century onwards, you'll discover that there's been an ongoing discussion, debate, about what theologians call the self-awareness of Christ. How aware was he of who he was and what his mission was? I think John 8 settles the question quite comprehensively. In verse 14, Jesus says, I know whence I came and whither I go. In verse 16, he says, I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. In verse 23, he says, I am from above. I am not of this world. It's not the world in the sense of this age, simply. It is the cosmos. I am not of this world. Created order. Verse 42, I proceeded forth and came from God. He sent me. And then that amazing statement in verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Literally, if a man keep my word, he shall by no means see death forever. Now in all this, the Lord Jesus is plainly making it out to these people. They may not know who he is, but he does. They may be in ignorance as to his person, his purpose, but he is perfectly well aware of it, and he's making it known. He's laying a powerful claim to be the unique, the true and only Messiah of Israel and the Savior of men. But he's going a lot further than that. If you paid attention to our Bible reading, I'm sure you've noticed that three times in John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus uses the holiest words that God ever spoke in revealing himself to men. And Christ applies these words to himself. You remember back in the Old Testament, revealing himself to Moses, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. This is the scene at the burning bush. And the Lord is revealing himself as he gets Moses ready for his great life work. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am. Hath sent you, or sent me unto you. The I am is God's description of himself. It is his chosen title, uniquely his chosen title. And three times in this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ takes this chosen title of Jehovah, and he applies it to himself. In verse 24, he says, if you do not believe that I am, our version puts he. That may be legitimate. I'll have more to say on that as we go on. But what the text says, if you do not believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. In verse 28, he says, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, probably a reference to his crucifixion. But it's interesting that the verb also refers to exaltation. And it could well be that the Lord Jesus is speaking of the entire work from crucifixion to glorification. Its natural conclusion. When you see me, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Then shall you know that I am. And just to make sure that no one could make any mistake about what he was meaning, In verse 56, he says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." My day, he saw, and he did see it, and he was glad. The words here say, "Your father Abraham exulted." The idea is he leapt with joy to see my day. That, I think, you can take as a reference to the entirety of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw it and was glad. Now, the Jews were stung by this, as well they might be. John Calvin quite rightly remarks here, Jesus was saying to them, and they felt it, "Abraham longed for me when I was absent. You, who claim to be his children, despise me when I am present." The Jews felt the sting of that rebuke, and thus they derided his claim. "You're not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" And then Christ gave the third of his three I ams. "Verily, verily." That solemn introduction that's unique to the speech of Christ, this double "verily," is found only in Scripture in the mouth of the Son of God. Amen, amen. He swears by himself, whose name is Amen, Revelation 3:14. He swears by himself because he can swear by none greater. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." There are two things immediately obvious in those words. The Authorized Version, in translating it, uses two parts of the verb "to be." "Before Abraham was," the past tense of the verb "to be." "I am," the present tense of the verb "to be." But the actual fact is that there are two different words here. Very different words. Before Abraham came into being, before Abraham became, or if I could use a translation of the same verb that appears in Galatians chapter 4, before Abraham was made, I am. And again, notice the difference in the tenses. He was made. I am. And this is Christ's answer to the question of "Who art thou?" Now, the Jews fully grasped the meaning that he was giving because they took up stones to cast at him. William Van Doren, the great 19th century commentator, aptly remarked, just to sum up that scene, a lovely little way of memorizing it. He said, "So they took stones from the earthly temple to cast at the heavenly," the real temple of God. They took up stones because they knew what he meant. This is God's name. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the one who appeared to Moses. This is the great I am. And this is the third time you've said this. And now you've made it beyond all question, your claim. Before Abraham was made, I am.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.